41 degrees. KQEN News Time is 12:36.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. We haven't talked to this guy in a while, and happy to bring in Steve Rehnquist from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Steve, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, I enjoy it, and I've missed out on a lot, I'm sure.
Well, I imagine, though, during the craziness of the last 10 months or so, that while a lot of what you do has changed in how you do it, it seems like there's been a lot of interest in some of the subjects you work with.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The number of new gardeners is rather astounding. I've just been amazed at how many people will send questions to our master gardeners or me and say, oh, this is my first year to garden, or this is my first or second year. And so lots of new interest. So when I went out, I said, well, you know, I can't meet with you in person in a lot of these situations. So we've had to kind of reinvent myself, as a lot of us have, and that's hard. That's challenging, especially when you're, moving into your seventh decade. You know, you aren't quite as malleable as you used to be.
Well, with all the technology, were you doing things on Zoom or TeamViewer, one of those?
Yeah, that's like most everybody. I try to do some PowerPoint presentations and things on Zoom. Mostly when I was out, though, I just kind of encouraged people to use our, what we call our Ask an Expert system within OSU. So people would send me questions, you know, rather than actually being on the phone or interacting with them immediately or directly, I would be able to work up a response to whatever their gardening problem was.
What were some of the reasons people were giving for their increased interest in gardening?
Well, for almost everybody that I talked to, they were looking for, number one, something that they could do, you know, right in their yard without having to travel, without going anywhere. So number one. Number two was probably just getting more exercise. Number three, well, let's get better nutrition, you know, let's get fresher vegetables and so on. And so that was really the trend, I think. Beyond that, there were a lot of personal things that people would talk about, but I kind of focus in on those guys of trying to do your own is a challenge. And so don't give up on our local suppliers. These guys are going to probably still be providing most of your interests or inputs, but, you know, it is good to learn. And because it's very few people that can jump in the first year of doing something and have a tremendous garden. That's pretty tough.
I guess this goes in line with what we saw starting in the spring and certainly over the summer, where people were also, you know, looking at remodeling projects, mm-hmm. or putting the deck on. Because if you were going to be at home all the time and working from home and all of that, mm-hmm. Then gardening would just be one more element of something you could do that way.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I was so grateful for is that I had purchased at one point, of course, I'm a horticulturalist, but I had purchased about a one and a half acre yard, you know, and so I have a lot of space. I can have fruit trees and vegetable crops going, you know, much of the year. And unfortunately for most people don't have that much space. And so they have to learn to plant in flower pots and in small scale and maybe a small raised bed garden. And so that's where a lot of questions were coming. How can I, in my confined area, how can I, you know, be productive, or how can I grow something that's beneficial? So then you'd have to focus on coaching people into, well, what are some of the more expensive vegetables and so on? Because why take up all of your area with growing, you know, a carrot or a stalk of corn when those are bulkier, you know, and harder to grow? And so you can go in and buy a whole lot of carrots for relatively inexpensive. You know, grow something that's different, like broccoli or something that's more expensive. I don't know, Brussels sprouts or, you know, whatever you might like. But don't really focus on a for a small garden. Don't focus on those crops that require a big area. You know, that doesn't make much sense.
As we're into a new year and people are starting to even think a little bit about spring, though the weather in the next few days may flip them back to thinking fully about winter if we get some snow here. I would imagine that people are probably continuing that shift in those thoughts for last year, even as some of the restrictions and some of the things are easing a bit.
Yeah. Well, I think so, no question about it. But the great majority of questions I get are usually pretty seasonal rather than, this is my first garden. And so I'm working on things that are seasonal, like, well, now's the time to prune. You know, if you have a beautiful ornamental garden, you've got to get out and do some pruning in there. And what are the types of pruning you do? Well, with shrubs, you ask yourself, are they flowering shrubs? What time do these shrubs flower? And do they flower in the spring? Well, then you don't want to prune them in winter, or you're pruning off all the flower buds. If they bloom, in summer, go ahead and prune them now. Same with your trees, your flowering trees and so on. So if you're pruning fruit trees, of course, get out there and prune them now. And a lot of people really want to know, well, how do you prune fruit trees? Well, about all I can do for a lot of people is just direct them to publications, Oregon State University Extension publications. And you can, if you query that, you can jump on and you can look at those and find pretty much anything you need to know about gardening.
And I guess it is important to look at that issue now, because with spring and sometimes you even get some early warm weather in February, too. And then depending on the plant, the tree, whatever, then you may be too late.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So with fruit trees, for example, most people try to get that pruning done before about the third week of February around here. Because like you say, we'll often get a nice little week. Well, we've actually had a couple already, but we'll probably get one or two more in February. And so those fruit trees will start swelling, the buds will start swelling. And when that happens, you really shouldn't be doing too much pruning after that. The other thing you shouldn't be doing too much of after those buds start swelling is your dormant sprays, So if you want to spray some fungicide sprays, you're making copper or sulfur type sprays right now this time of the year. It's really good to clean up the diseases on your trees before the new bud break.
So what is a dormant spray, if somebody doesn't know what that means?
Yeah. So a dormant spray is really, of course, when the trees are dormant. So the dormant type of materials that you can have, you're spraying in the winter, so you're cleaning up all those diseases that have overwintered, all the spores and things. And so you can either have a dormant oil or a horticultural oil. Those types of oils are suffocants. You spray them on there, and if there are eggs or insect eggs or any kind of live insects around that are the not very good guys, the borers and so on, it'll suffocate them. If you make a spray with a copper spray, you're generally controlling a bacterial disease. If you've got fungal disease problems, like a lot of people have with apple scab or with peach leaf curl, those kind of things, you'd want to use a sulfur spray, to get the disease more effectively. So all of these are considered dormant sprays, when the tree is dormant.
Now, see, when you mentioned the apple aspect, I think most people can look at apples and go, okay, there's a problem there. Yeah. But I think a lot of these other things probably don't always get noticed because you don't really know what you're looking for if you don't have the background.
Yeah. No, that's right. And so that's the beauty of the Master Gardener program. We always had these trained people that would answer questions for home gardeners. When those gardeners would come in with their questions, we were always there. So it does make it tougher. But this Ask an Expert system online from OSU Extension kind of does the same thing. You can just type out your question and tell me what crop you have and what issues you might have. And they even have an attachment there for pictures. So you can go out and take pictures if you've got some cankers, some big wounds or cankers on the branches of your fruit trees. That's the type of thing that a lot of people call about this time.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Steve Ringquist from the OSU Extension Service. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1 later today. KQEN Local Talk at 4. Mike Winters, Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt, in with us. Steve Ringquist from the OSU Extension Service on right now as you are talking about all the interesting gardening and the things that people should be doing this time of year. Folks have been out getting exercise in various ways, more distance, more walking. See a lot of folks out walking, bike riding, things like that. A lot of times people see yards and they look at that a particular yard. They have no clue who lives there. But, and you see something you like and you wonder, how did they possibly achieve that?
It takes two or three things. One is it takes probably some instruction or learning underneath somebody or with somebody. And the other thing it takes is a lot of practice. And with me, I've been around horticultural things for 50 years now. And so I'm thinking when I go for a walk in the neighborhood and I see something, my wife kind of laughs because she said, "This is about the 20th time you've told me this as we've walked by this house." And I said, do you see how that guy trained that tree? So that's totally absurd, you know. So you can learn from walking around, but I'll guarantee you, as a horticulturalist, try to go online and find good sources of material and something university-sponsored or based, because when I walk around my neighborhood, as pretty as it might seem, just about every tree in that neighborhood has been pruned improperly. And you know that there are landscapers and people, and there are probably even some arborists that have been out at one point or another, and a lot of professionals, and then, of course, a lot of hobbyists doing all this work. And most people get it wrong. And so it's a challenge. And so the best thing you can do is just find good source material, read about it a little bit. Then when the Master Gardeners open again, just call or use our systems to ask questions further. But we'll be back at some point to teach and to do more interacting. But it's a real tough thing to know what I should be doing. With my yard, what I tend to do is I try to use it as a kind of a learning center or a demonstration area. And I tell my neighbors, I said, if you've got a question about something, you know, walk on by here. And if you see something that you're not sure how I did that, you know, ask me. And so maybe it'd be nice if each neighborhood had one person that was the go-to guy. You know, that would be really nice. But unfortunately, right now, it doesn't work that way.
Well, yeah, and I don't think at the moment people really want random folks just walking up, knocking on their door.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So one of the things, though, that I was thinking about here just today, this little nice warm spell that we've had has really made my lawn, my grass, start to grow pretty rapidly. And so I was out mowing the other day, and it had dried out enough. And it reminds me that this is a really good time of the year to put lime. If you've been struggling in your yard and you're trying to make your lawn a little thicker, a little nicer, and it seems like when you put fertilizer on there, it doesn't respond or do much, you know, you probably have a pH issue. And so if you've never limed your lawn, or you never limed your soil or your yard in general, it's really good idea to get out and do it during the dormant season, the rainy season, because that lime will work down into the soil a little bit and have an impact. So what are you doing? You're changing the pH of the soil. Most of our areas around here have a pH of about 5.5, and you want to bump it up for lawn, a really beautiful lawn, to about 6 or higher. And when you lime, what are you doing? You're making the nutrients that are in the soil available. So a lot of times if you have a pH that's pretty low in your soil, the nutrients might be there. You might have plenty of NPK in your ground, in your soil, but that nitrogen or that potassium just isn't available because your pH is so out of whack. So you get that up there more toward that 6 to 7 range in neutrality, and those nutrients become available. And I noticed that happened with my yard when I first started. I thought, well, I put a lot of nitrogen here, and I'm not getting much growth response. So this time of the year, put that lime out. You can get the lime at the garden stores around here. And most people should put about, you got to calculate more or less what your lawn area is. But you'll buy a bag of fertilizer or a bag of lime, and it'll usually say good to cover 5,000 square feet, something like that on the bag. So calculate your square footage and just spread it out. Personally, you don't need to worry about putting lime on too much versus like you would if you had nitrogen fertilizer where you could burn the lawn. So really about 40, 50 pounds per 1,000 square feet in your yard is a good annual application. I like to put a little bit out every year because the rain acidifies your soil, and so you gotta kind of counter that a little bit with putting a little lime, which is a basic material.
Now, if somebody doesn't know what pH is, why don't you explain that?
Okay. Well, pH is the acidity. It's a measurement system for the acidity of your soil or the basicness of your soil, the alkalinity. And so the pH is something that's measured when, if a person had a little chemical reagent, you take a little bit of your soil and you'd add these chemical reagents and you can check the actual alkalinity or basic, you know, ness of the soil, the acidity. And between those two, you'll get a reading, a number reading, and that kind of directs you as to, you know, what you need to do. If you were in California, you'd probably have a pH of 7. And up here in our area, we tend to be more rainfall, a little more alkaline. We're going to be at about 5.3, 5.5 in our area here with a typical soil.
You talked about doing the Master Gardener classes online. What's that been like?
Well, the online classes have kind of been interesting. I'm experimenting with the Master Gardeners themselves because I'm an old dog who has trouble learning these new tricks. But so far, so good. It seems like they're responding to the classes that I'm giving them online. And we do that to retrain them or to keep them up on their skill sets so that then they can work well with the public. And my thought was I should keep doing that with them as soon as we can open again. You know, when the university gives us the okay, then we can interact a little bit more with the public. I'd like to do these classes for the public, and I think that if it continues into like maybe April, May, or June, at that point I think I'll start doing these just broadly for the general public, and that probably would be an efficient way.
And now, of course, in a lot of arenas of knowledge, one thing people have found in this current situation is that they can put something together and then have it actually shared a lot of other places. But the one thing you mentioned here, though, is that each area varies a little bit just because of the differences in the climate, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All of our areas are different. Just this morning, I was talking with somebody about how we in Douglas County have some of the really the finest growing climate there is. And why? It's because we've got an opening to the ocean, keeps us a little milder, also keeps plenty of moisture coming in from the systems. And at the same time, we've got really good soil. A diversity of soils in our county is huge. You know, we have 250 some soil types in this county. And so everybody that's out there trying to figure out how to garden, it's not quite as easy as one person just saying, well, you do this with soil. because all these diversity, some soils drain better, some soils have more nutrients and so on. It's hard to know, and unless you've got somebody to guide you a little bit.
If people want to get connected with what you're doing with the OSU Extension Service, what's the best way to do that these days?
Well, right now, if you have gardening questions as we go through winter and into spring, we have that Oregon State University has an Ask a Master Gardener area. They also have Ask an Expert, and I would encourage you to use the Ask an Expert area if you're the general public. And as we get going again, then you can shoot more directly to Ask a Master Gardener and direct things. But that's the best way. We do have, it doesn't really help for me to give you our office phone numbers or anything like that right now because it's going.
Yep, Steve Rehnquist from the OSU Extension Service.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.